Hey everyone, welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show where we are live every single Monday through Friday, whether you want us to be or not, starting off your morning. We're really enjoying having this be a part of your morning routine that you are checking in with the Teach Better community, getting some decent banter, but hopefully more than anything, getting to actually get your brain going for some educational conversation as you head into your workday. Katie Miglin is of course here with me because she's my favorite person to do the show with. And I say that hoping that nobody else is watching. So that won't go in the record. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Teach Better Today morning show where the Teach Better team gets to be a part of your day every single day, Monday through Friday. Katie Miglin, how are you, girl?
I'm good. Good morning, friends. Cheers to another work day.
Cheers. Your mood is a lot better this morning. I sure you were a little grumpy, so we appreciate you being here.
Okay. Well, you know what? Some days are just not my day, okay?
Yeah, I really think that that's like a part of life. Does anyone else feel like they just need sometimes to be a little grumpy? Like, is that bad or is that like appropriate human behavior?
No, Lindsay Titus would say, just accept your feelings, face them head on.
I love that you quote Lindsay Titus so much. Lindsay Titus, for those of you who are not aware, is an amazing educator. She's a part of our speakers network too, so you can go see everything she's doing in education and you can actually even bring her to your school or department via our speakers network. So
I just love Lindsay. Like, if you don't follow her on social media, do it, because she posts like real in the moment. Like, there's so many times I send her a message and I'm like, this is exactly what I needed today, because it's like, things don't go perfectly. Kids aren't, you know, like kids have a meltdown right before you're supposed to walk out the door, or you spill your coffee, like whatever it is. She's very intentional of like, it is what it is. Like, stop thinking like this should go better or, you know, should be different. Like it's the reality. So accept the reality. So we love Lindsay.
I will say, I feel like that goes into our initial topic I wanted to get into this morning, which is finding a balance between like embracing your feelings and being like, hey, I'm just like not in the best mood and that's just going to be what it is today, but I'm going to give my best in this stage and I'll be fine.
Okay.
And also the reality of like, hey, I woke up not feeling great, or I woke up feeling grumpy. I actually want to do something to make a big change so that isn't my reality. And so I don't know that there's like a right or wrong time to do that. I think it's your mindset.
I think it depends. Yeah. You have to be in the mindset to be willing to adjust it. So that may not happen in the first 15 minutes of you waking up. That might have taken a full hour, or maybe you're like completely dressed and ready and you're like, you know, you've got the coffee in hand and then you're like, okay, I need a better headspace. But just acknowledging like, this is the reality of what it is. And now what am I going to do with it? So yeah, you talk about getting dressed today.
Yeah, no, but so this is the same topic. So, I had shoulder surgery earlier this month. It was like the very end of August. It was the 31st of August. So it was like September 1st when I feel like I came to and was like a normal human. But I had that surgery. I was actually feeling really good. And I noticed that when I was feeling really good, even though I was like very, very post-surgery, I was like getting up, getting dressed. I was like brushing my teeth. I was, you know, all that stuff. Then I developed like blood clots in my arm, which were insanely painful. I feel like I'm never going to be able to not like just have complete empathy. My life has changed learning what blood clots are like. Ew, yikes, ouch. If anyone ever gets them and needs to like vent or complain, call me. I'll do it for hours. But I was really grumpy and the medicine made me feel crummy. And then I, of course, was like living in my PJs all day and taking off, like not doing work and not answering emails. Like, and I was in this like really nasty mood. And then things did start getting better. Thank God, doctors are amazing, all that good stuff. But it kind of took a shift for me to say, okay, I need to start doing more to feel better because I'm moving in a proactive direction. If I stay in my PJs for the third day, then I'm never going to actually feel better. Like the medicine will start working, the pain will subside, but I won't feel better. So, I was listening to this podcast similar about this topic, connecting how we feel to the types of clothing that we're choosing to wear. And I don't think it's specific to clothing, but for me, that just really resonated. This connection between like you wake up grumpy, so you put on a cozy outfit, and then the grumpiness seems to maybe stick with you throughout the day versus you wake up grumpy and you put on a more professional or dressed up outfit, and that kind of forces you to change your mindset. I don't know. I think it's an interesting connection.
Well, yeah, because you wear what you feel. So I always laugh like when people like you can always tell like it's a Monday or a gloomy day because you walk into your building and like a lot of people are in dark colors and it's like really this is the vibe this morning. But yeah, I do think there's like some acknowledgement of like I'm in a bad headspace, so I'm gonna wear like my favorite shirt or I'm gonna wear like my favorite pants because nobody wants to be uncomfortable and crabby. Like those are the two things that just make it worse. But being able to say like I know that if I can get myself out of this headspace, I'm gonna wear like my favorite shirt that maybe is a little step up. It's not a comfy sweatshirt. Like I'm not wearing a spirit, shirt for my school. I'm gonna wear something a little nicer to kind of reframe my headspace. That like almost helps kind of reset.
Well, and I feel like I also go the other way, where like I was dressed for school, ready for the day, something really annoying or crummy happened during the day, and then I go home and I put on sweatpants and a hoodie, and then it just stays with you the whole day. Where you're like, even though you left school, you're with your family, they didn't do anything wrong, and like because of what you went home and changed into, then like that perpetuates the vibe. Like,
Okay,
that's
can I
totally.
also say, I think I'm hoping that we've all been in this situation where you put something on and then you get to school and you realize how uncomfortable it is.
Oh, it's the
It
worst. It's
can
the worst.
totally, like for me, okay, maybe it's a me thing, but I feel like it can totally make my day like just feel crabby because I'm uncomfortable. And I'm like, I can't get out of this uncomfortableness until I get home. So sometimes that, like switching to the comfy clothes when you get home, actually helps me like be in a better headspace because it might be like you're already kind of irritated. You're like, this is uncomfortable. And then you have like an email that sets you off or you like interact with someone. And it's
Totally.
like really teeny tiny things that build all day. And so sometimes just putting that sweatshirt on when you get home is like, oh, okay, fine. Like,
So the balance, right? Like trying to figure out what steps are good for you to do and what steps may be unhealthy for you to do. I will say a rule of thumb, and I think getting dressed in certain clothing has helped me sustain this rule, is when something makes me upset, I set a specific amount of time that I'm allowed to be grumpy or upset about it. And then after that, I need to choose to adjust. And like for the blood clot, it's a perfect example. I gave myself a long time to be grumpy. I was like, I came home from the ER and I was like, I'm gonna be mad about this for 2 days. Like I literally, and it was what it was, guys. I was in pain and I was being dramatic. I was at the ER for hours because you know that can never be fast. And like whatever. And I literally came home and I was like, I'm giving myself 2 days. I'm mad. I'm mad and in pain. It's happening. Whereas like other times I'm like, I'm giving myself 2 hours. Either way, whatever time you set is your time. You own it. But then after that period of time ends, even if you wished it was longer, you move on. And I think that like changing clothes or putting on certain clothes can help with that. Because if you're supposed to get out of this gloomy phase, and you committed to doing that, but you're still putting on the hoodie, you're probably not helping yourself get out of it.
And it doesn't just have to be about getting dressed. Like maybe you're someone's like, I literally don't know how what they're talking about at all. Like I don't have these issues.
Sorry.
We know that there's like things that are like silly in a sense. Like we know that they're impacting our mood, our headspace. Like give yourself the parameters, but then also be intentional. Like maybe you know that, okay, I've had a really long day for a lot of really tiny reasons, and a lot of it is just me internalizing all these little things. maybe you decide I'm getting takeout tonight. And that's like the one thing I'm going to look forward to. Or maybe I'm going to like grade this one stack of papers because I know it'll help with my stress level. Or I'm going to do the dishes, like whatever it is, be intentional about like reframing your mindset, like make the intentional choice of, I know this will make me feel better because it's a short-lived thing. Do it.
I like that. Like, how are you choosing to change the narrative? Like if people in the comments, I know, because I know our community, they'll be like, going to get a fancy coffee.
Yep.
Takeout was a great example that will resonate with so many people in our community. Yep. Like, yeah. I like all that.
Sometimes you just have to embrace it. Like, pull a Lindsay Titus. Embrace your mood and just know, I've got to do something different just to get out of this headspace. Even if it's in the short term, like, just do it.
So good. All right, we're headed into our team talk where we are actually getting into some technology. So stick with us. Teach Better Today Morning Show. If you are not dancing in the background to that commercial, you are missing out, because it doesn't matter who I'm on the show with, there's always a dance party going on. Like, and it's, we're not physically together. Like, we're in the background individually in our little squares being like, dun, 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 like
the whole time. Every time. Every time.
So funny. We're getting into our team talk, which is where we get into some educational conversation. People have called this the chips and salsa of the show. So feel free to make your own connection on that. Katie, we're talking about technology, and I want to be careful here because, like, during COVID teaching, which feels like its own period of time in the world.
100 years ago.
It was 100 years ago, and yet it was yesterday. We're super out of, like, I was so annoyed with every new tech tool and everything we had to learn. Then we went back into the classroom and a lot of us tried to find a balance of technology tools. But the reality is, like, there's always a tool that somebody brings up at some random point throughout the year that you're like, oh my God, I remember using that and I totally forgot about it. And I'm going to go try and use it next week because it totally fell off the radar, but my students really liked it or whatever. So I thought we could share, and I really want our community to help us in the comments here. I know a lot of you are watching in the private Facebook group. We stream this show everywhere, but the private Facebook group over at teachbettergroup.com seems to be where we get a lot of the comments each and every morning. Please make sure you share your favorite tech tool, because Katie and I aren't nearly going to highlight the one, like, all of them. Like, I thought we'd just share one, but give us some opportunity to share.
We really just wanted today to be an opportunity where we share one that was our favorite. Just if you're like, I just need something new, you know, maybe it's something you've never heard of, or maybe it prompts your memory to like go and look at your list of ones that you have that you maybe want to dive back into. So I have mine. Do you have yours that you want to highlight?
I do. And I just realized I have two, but they're for different purposes. So
right.
I don't know where to go. I only get one.
You only get one.
Can I get one in my personal life and one in my professional life?
Yes. Personal, go.
Personal. Okay. So this wasn't the one I originally was going to share, but in our personal life, my oldest is struggling with math. And I say that really loosely. She's not struggling with math. She's struggling with confidence in math, which is different. That is not a math deficiency. So we just, our school doesn't support this, but we just found, the way and the means to get her an iXL account, which Katie, you and I used to use iXL as professionals, and our school district provided it. So I never really knew what it cost, but this is now her new thing. And I love that depending on her mood is what I, as like, you know, mean old parent assigning homework when she gets home when she doesn't really have homework. But like I get to pick what math to give her. And so if she's like feeling really defeated after a long day, I'm giving her like basic computation that I know she'll be successful in. And if she comes home in a really great mood, I'm giving her more challenging skills that are grade level. And I really love this resource because there's literally endless content. So shout out to IXL. It is expensive. I do want to give a little shout out though, that the people that work for IXL, like on the sales team, are pretty awesome and legit. You should tell them that you heard about them from the Teach Better team and see if you can get like a discount.
Well, and we, as educators, we used them, but I actually just ran into one of the tech coaches from our district a couple of days ago. And she, I felt, it's funny you say that, because she literally brought up IXL, and they have, if you have used it in the past, but maybe haven't like looked into it a ton, maybe it was a case of like your district bought it and you just kind of rolled it out. There's a ton of like analytics that you can look at. They are tied to Common Core. They're tied to other standards. Like there's so much on the back end that they have done to make sure that it's like good for not just math. They have reading, they have writing, they have all kinds of stuff. So
they have Spanish now, which is so cool. Like to learn Spanish. I just want to give a comment.
App is great. Like if you have it on your phone, like that works really well too. So yeah.
You just have to remember that every tech tool can be a bad tech tool if you're using it wrong. Correct. Like if you're using IXL where every student has to do all of this stuff every single day in this like crafted order, like that's a hot mess express for anything. So like, it's not going to be effective versus I just love that it's like endless resources. I'm really personalizing it for her. And you can do that in your classroom in the same vein. Like this is good practice. I'm going to pull this resource. That's when most tech tools are going to be most effective anyway. And I love the analytics because in my world, there are four parents and not all the parents are educators. And so it's nice to be able to pull analytics for kids and say, this is what we're seeing successes with versus as an educator, like this is what I know is good for kids. So
yeah, exactly. Okay. Then what's your professional?
Professional is, I think every student benefits from doing goal setting and reflecting. I talk about this endlessly. I did my thesis on this. I love getting students to goal set and reflect. Now you give students goal set and reflect on like things that they have control over. Like students can't set their own goals on what they're going to learn if they're not allowed to dictate that. So it, maybe you're having them goal set and reflect on behavior characteristics or anything in between, but I think Seesaw is my favorite platform. That's the way that students can document goal setting and reflecting in there is incredible. There's like 6 to 9 different modalities for them to document things. I love the versatility. The marketing is more for like an elementary student, which I think that's just a team choice. Like it has nothing, I don't know why it's focused on elementary students, because I know middle school and high school students that are really successful on it. If it's marketed to elementary because it's easy to use, then so be it. But it's easy to use. Things at a high school level shouldn't be hard to use. So it's like the best digital portfolio for student work. And like point blank.
Okay.
What about you?
I'm not highlighting my favorite because I feel like my favorite is pretty well known. Like a lot of people use it. I am highlighting one that I think is not super well known, which is Edpuzzle. I actually was in a school last week and they were talking about Edpuzzle. A few of the teachers had never utilized it, but essentially what it is you can either choose to use your own video or YouTube video or really a video from anywhere. And you decide how it's chunked and students will be forced to pause the video, answer a series of questions before they move on. And I think when I first saw it, it was a case of like, it was, I think during COVID and we were getting inundated with like different tools. And I was like, this looks cool, but I don't know, you know, it was too much to look into in the moment. Since then I've heard it nonstop. Anyone who uses the grid, I know we've like, when we do our trainings, we hear a lot of educators use it because it helps students manage watching a video. You know, there's so many students that turn on the video and then they're like spacing out, talking to a friend, whatever. This like forces them to answer questions, but then they can also go back and rewatch. And then as the educator, you can see how many times a student had to rewatch something or re-answer a question. Like you get all that back knowledge, which is super helpful. And so especially if a student comes and they're struggling with a concept, you can look to see how many times have they watched the video? Do they need to rewatch it? How are they doing on the questions? All that good stuff. So Edpuzzle is free. It's super easy to use if you have not checked it out, but are looking for just some way to like revamp some of that mastery learning. Totally recommend, check it out. And no, neither one of us are paid by any of these platforms. We literally just wanted to share some things just to like give you, you know, we know that like there's a ton out there and it's so easy to get bogged down, but we just thought dropping a few today to get your kind of brain moving. So
yeah, Edpuzzle and Seesaw, which were both our professional recommendations, both have free accounts, both have free accounts that are substantial that you should not need to do a paid account unless you realize you love it and that is the direction you want to go. Whereas iExcel that I shared earlier is for sure paid. It was like $9 a month per student on a family, but then they had like school district and classroom deals. So that's one that I'm like, hey, it costs money. So we got to write a grant or get funding somehow, call their sales team.
There is like a trial. Like you can do,
yeah, there is a trial.
You could do so many questions just so you can see how it works if you're just interested in that. But yeah, it definitely is something that you have to pay for. So, but let us know if you want help writing grants for things like that. We're happy to help. Yeah. We both wrote grants to get some of that type of funding for our classrooms, our Teach Better. We do that all the time for schools. So
yeah, I think we just got approved for, there were like two different buildings that we, as of like yesterday, are working with now because they wrote grants that got approved. So we were like celebrating internally being like, yeah, it's so fun. So even if you want like professional development, let us write grants with you. It's super fun. Mm-hmm. Anywho, well, we're going to head out to the rest of our day, but we wish you nothing but an incredible day ahead. And let us know if you have any listener questions or want to just connect, because Katie and I are always here to support you. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and we will see you next time over on Teach Better Today Morning Show. Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today Morning Show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.